Peace be with you. Friends, for this 14th Sunday of Ordinary Time, I want to do something I don't do that often, and that's to talk about the second reading. It's from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and it's so magnificent, and it's so spiritually rich that I just can't overlook it. It's toward the end of the letter, and Paul, in this kind of oblique, strange way, he speaks of himself, but in the third person, about being lifted up, whether he's in his body or not, he doesn't know. Whatever that means, lifted up to the third heaven. In other words, he's been given some extraordinary mystical experience, some mystical elevation. And you find similar things, you know, in Thomas Aquinas and Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, and many of the other mystics. So not altogether surprising that someone like St. Paul would have had this sort of extraordinary union with God. But that's not the focus of the reading. The focus now is on something else. Paul says that I might not become too elated because of these extraordinary revelations. What? A thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from becoming too elated. So he's at the height. He's up to the third heaven in this mystical union with God. But as a balance, as a kind of spiritual counterweight, he's given this thorn in the flesh. Now, what was it? Clearly not some passing problem, like a difficulty of the day. No, no. Think of the thorn that's just stuck in your flesh and it's just bugging you. Think of a stone in your shoe that's just bothering you all the time. What was it? Well, people speculate. There are little hints in Paul's letters of difficulty in speech. He says at one point, well, people always say his letters are so impressive, which of course, indeed they are. But in person, he's so unimpressive. What did that mean? We don't know. Did it mean that he didn't speak very well? Maybe like Moses, he was stammering or halting in his speech. Was it a physical problem of some kind? I mean, maybe. Imagine, you know, back in the day, ancient times, before we had the doctors and hospitals, a lot of people would have had kind of chronic medical issues. Was it a psychological suffering of some kind? Was it the persecution he faced regularly? I don't know. Whatever it was, as I say, it wasn't trivial. Now, how do we know? Listen, three times I begged the Lord that it might leave me. To say three times in the biblical context doesn't mean just three times, one, two, three. It means again and again and again. He begged the Lord. Now, I know this is true based on my life experience. Every single person listening to me right now has something like this. I say it without hesitation. I don't mean the passing troubles of the day. I mean some suffering in you, physical, psychological, spiritual, I don't know what it is, but some suffering in you that's chronic, that is deeply troubling, annoying, disturbing, and that you have spent your whole life asking God to take away from you. That's the thorn in the flesh. That's what Paul is feeling, and he's begging God to take it away. You know, I made reference before to this, that I love history and biography. It's my favorite books to read, and it's become almost a little game that I play when I'm reading the biography of a great person, is find the thorn in the flesh. So you're following the story of someone, their childhood and their education and this and that happened to them. Okay. But trust me, you're going to find the thorn in the flesh. There's going to be some suffering, some pain. Listen now, probably around which that person's life effectively revolves. I'll give you a couple of examples. Two heroes of mine, Winston Churchill and Abraham Lincoln, they had a lot in common, the two of them. But one thing they had in common, they both suffered from what today we call depression. In Lincoln's time, probably melancholia. Churchill called it the black dog. Sometimes he said the black dog was on me. It just meant this kind of debilitating depression. Jefferson, too, probably suffered from something similar. It manifested itself as migraine headaches for Jefferson. But for Lincoln and Churchill, for sure. Now, they weren't debilitated. They would never have had the careers they had if they were just debilitated. But nevertheless, when the black dog was on Churchill, I mean, he was just beset by it. When Lincoln fell into one of his melancholic episodes, thorn in the flesh, you bet. Another good example is Sir Laurence Olivier. Now, maybe I'm dating myself because younger people won't even know that name. But when I was coming of age, if you had said, who's the greatest actor in the world? People probably would have said Laurence Olivier. Great Shakespearean actor. Also starred in Hollywood films. Greatest actor in the world, Olivier. But when he was at midlife, like in early 50s, this man who'd grown up on the stage, you know, since he was a kid, suddenly developed truly debilitating stage fright. Like, I can't talk. Like, I'm so nervous. Like, I'm stammering out my words. And you think, stage fright? What happened to him? Who knows? But it could have been the audiences are expecting the greatest actor in the world. Can you imagine the pressure on you every time you stride out on the stage? Hey, he's the best actor in the world. You know, if you gave an even slightly less than wonderful performance, people would be disappointed. Who knows? Maybe that produced in him this anxiety. Here's the interesting thing, though, about Olivier. You watch his earlier performances. You find him on YouTube. You know, he played Hamlet, he played Richard III and Henry V and so on. And he's wonderful, of course, but there's something, I don't know, kind of stylized, a little bit, you know, theatrical about his performance. But look at the later Olivier, after he'd been through this trial, this thorn in the flesh. Look at a movie like Sleuth. Look it up. Great film with Michael Caine. Look at Marathon Man he did with Dustin Hoffman. Something about that Olivier that's just, I don't know, it's more human. It's a more compelling performance. Was it the result of his struggle with this terrible thorn in the flesh? Maybe. You know, one that came to our attention just, what, about 20 years ago now? Mother Teresa, you know, the greatest living saint when I was coming of age. If Olivier was the greatest actor, who was the greatest living saint? It would be Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Always with a smile, you know, always joyfully doing her work among the poor. Now we know for about 50 years, most of her life, she had a terrible thorn in the flesh. And it had to do with a sense of the absence of God. What do you mean the absence of God? You're a saint. Yeah. But she said she felt God's absence. They say when she's praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, at times she would say to her sisters, well, where is Jesus? In her letters, it's this awful experience is communicated of feeling abandoned by God. Strange, isn't it? I mean, what gave Mother Teresa her tremendous identification with the poor and suffering? Might it have been particularly that thorn in the flesh? See, now we come to the point, really. Why would God permit this? Well, Paul says, to keep me from becoming too elated. You know, so he was caught up in the third heaven. So it was a kind of balancing act. But we might look at a couple of perspectives, everybody. What is it, at least in this life, that throws us most into the arms of God? Oh, well, it's my great accomplishments. When all's going well and I'm a hero and everybody admires me. Oh, I don't know. I think it's very often in this life, in heaven, it'll be otherwise. But in this life, it's very often my suffering, my fear, my anguish, my anxiety, my pain, things I can't control. Listen, that throw me off of my ego and into the arms of God. See, what causes reliance upon God? Is it the humility born of this kind of suffering? Yeah, I think very often that's the case. You know, I've been referring to some famous people here, but talk to anyone you know, chances are they will start speaking about the thorn in their flesh and how it led them to God and how they never would have come to God were it not that thorn in the flesh. You know the story Fulton Sheen tells it about Claire Booth Luce, you know, who was a congresswoman and she's married to Henry Luce, the great publisher of Time and Life magazine. She was a kind of woman about town, this very accomplished, famous, beautiful woman. And her daughter, whom she loved dearly, was killed in a car wreck, tragically. And she fell into a despair. It was during that time that she started to see Fulton Sheen, you know, exploring the Catholic faith. And she took in several lessons until finally Sheen spoke to her about the goodness of God. And she shouted at him, "If God is good, why would he have taken my daughter from me?" And Sheen, they say without missing a beat, said, "Perhaps because in your suffering, you'd be led back to him." So it goes in the order of grace very often. It's the thorn in the flesh that brings us back to God. What does Paul say? Listen. But he, the Lord, when Paul begged him, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you. For power is made perfect in weakness." That's what we're talking about. See, it's not worldly power. Worldly power is opposed to weakness. That's true. But spiritual power that comes from union with God, that comes precisely through weakness. Now, here's a second, I'll close with this, a second perspective. What's the image that Paul held up to his first listeners, that we hold up in front of every Christian community? Is it an image of worldly power and success? Hardly. It's a deeply wounded man writhing in pain on an instrument of torture just before he dies. That's the image we place before our eyes and our minds. How come? Because in that suffering, the world is saved, right? Through his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. Here's, friends, something that's very mystical, and I can't explain it to you really coherently, but I think it's true. Namely, that our suffering, when joined to that of Christ, has a similarly salvific effect. Let me say that again. When we take our suffering, John Paul II is insistent upon this, we take our suffering, we join it to that of Christ, it has a saving effect somewhere within the mystical body. Paul says that we make up what's still lacking in the sufferings of Christ. By our own suffering, we participate in the salvation of the cross. That's why, even as we beg, "Oh Lord, take this thorn away from me," he says, no, "my grace is sufficient, because in that weakness, you're thrown back into my arms. In that very weakness, you are participating in the saving cross of Jesus." And God bless you.